So they heard something, and then they, Ty, your expression is priceless. Oh, man. They heard something. Help. Thank you. Here. They heard something. They saw something. They saw fire. You know, God often appears as fire. Hebrews says our God is a consuming
fire.
That's right. The Apostle John saw seven lampstands of
fire
before the throne of God, represented the Spirit of God. God came down on Mount Sinai as a
fire.
Praise God. Moses saw the Son of God in a bush that was burning with
fire.
John the Baptist says he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And cessationists say, well, you know, no, you know, fire stuff, that just talks about judgment. You know, the power of God, if you're not saved, it's like fire. It'll consume you. But if you are saved, it's like fire. It will pump you up, man. It'll empower you. So they heard a sound. They saw fire. You know, in Azusa Street, we talked about that a few weeks ago, the birth of the Pentecostal movement in America. As that spread across the country, there were reports from other churches that started experiencing that same revival. There was one up around Chicago that where they said there was this glory cloud that just hovered in the building whenever they would begin to worship. And numerous people testified that they had seen that thing. They saw the Shekinah glory cloud of God in that place as they were worshiping. When Jesus was anointed with power right after his baptism, what did they see? The Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. They saw something. This was an experience. They heard something. They saw something. They experienced something. They were filled with power. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? Began to speak in other tongues. This was an experience. God wants us to experience his power. This is not a little theological trivia fact for you to put on a piece of paper somewhere and stick it on a shelf. We serve the living God. He wants you to encounter him. How many people want to encounter the living God? Oh, man. Yeah, how about that? Jenny said it sounds a little scary. How many people love roller coasters? How many people would say they're a little scary sometimes? Let me see these roller coaster lovers. Stand up for a second. Man, yeah. Fear ever kept you off a roller coaster, Ty?
No.
CJ, fear ever kept you off a roller coaster? Once, okay. How about you, Nicole? Fear ever kept you off a roller coaster? I know you better than that. Hey, you were probably front of the line, man. You know, put me in the front. Ah! Tim, fear ever keep you off a roller coaster? No. But have you ever felt a little tinge of, you know, oh, yeah. When you go down that drop and you're going down at almost 90 degrees, you know, is that a little exciting? Praise God. Okay, we can all sit down. Thank you guys very much. You know, amen. Yeah, it sounds a little scary to encounter the living God, especially when you look at Scripture and see what happens when people encounter God. Absolutely, it's a little bit scary. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and he was transformed before their eyes, it didn't say they were afraid. It said they were greatly afraid. They were terrified. They were scared as the dickens, man. Wouldn't you be if you were walking with Jesus and all of a sudden he began to shine like the sun so you couldn't even look at him? I think I'd be like, dude, man. Yeah, it would be frightening, but it would also be glorious, would it not? Wouldn't it be glorious? How amazing would that be? And that's what I want you to lay a hold of today. Yes, it may be a little scary. It may involve a little risk. It may involve everything that's worth something involves a little risk. But how glorious to encounter the living God and have Him truly, experientially fill your life with His power and presence. You know, praise God. I hate boredom. I love excitement. And the Christian life was never meant to be some boring drudgery, some chore, some religious, dusty, dry nonsense. It was meant to give life. That's what God has. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, because out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That is an experience. God wants us to encounter Him, the living God. Church was never meant to be boring. That's why I couldn't end on that song, Tom. I'm sorry, brother. I mean, I know there's times of intimacy with God and all that, man, but I've been reading about power all weekend long. I was just like, man, you know, I just got a different vibe going on, a different groove. So my point is this, when Jesus said that, that they would receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's exactly what happened. They had an experience of power. They heard it. They saw it. They felt it. They responded to it. And they had an experience that forever changed their life and impacted their ministry. Things would never be the same after the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Filled them with such power and such joy that some people thought they were drunk. Filled with joy, flooded with the power of God, so that people said, what is it with these people? They're drunk. Peter had to tell them, it's not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Who do you think we are? But yeah, that's the power of God. I have felt such joy from the power of God that I thought I would not be able to contain myself. It wasn't some pep rally. It wasn't because the prayer meeting was that exciting. In fact, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was the most boring Bible study I'd ever been to. I was in the classroom. It was a Roman Catholic church of all places. I was in the classroom. I had just gotten saved a few weeks before, sitting there, and a guy thought he'd open in prayer. You know, dear Lord, you know, please send your Holy Spirit. And when he said the word Holy Spirit, man, the glory of God filled my soul. Suddenly, wasn't expecting it. Thought I was going to fall on the floor with joy. Praise God. So number one, they experienced something. Number two, the people around them also experienced something. And it changed them forever as well. Let's go on. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Let that sink in for a moment. In Jerusalem, there were Jews. They were devout men from every nation under heaven. Why were they there? For Pentecost. For the feast. Feast! Isn't God awesome? He could have, you know, I mean, eventually He had to send them out, sure, but think how much work it would take to send all, you know, that band of 120 people all throughout the world to try to reach a bunch of people. So what did God do? He brought them all in one place, just like He sent the animals to Noah's Ark. Brought them all in one place, men from every nation under heaven. Son of a gun, here they are, all in one place in Jerusalem. Our God is an awesome God, man. And when this sound occurred, whether it was the wind or the tongues or whatever it was, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Crete, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking say, they are full of new wine. What kind of words does Luke use here to describe what they felt emotionally? What did this crowd feel when this started happening? Amazed. They were amazed at what was happening. What are the words?
Perplexed.
They were amazed, but they were just a little perplexed.
Awesome.
Awesome. They were in awe. What other words you see up there? They were confused. But it's a good kind of confused, you know? Any other words you see up there? One starts with an M. They marveled. They were in awe. They were amazed. They were confused and perplexed. They didn't know what was going on, but they thought it was pretty amazing. That's what revival is like. You know, when revival breaks out, a lot of people really don't understand what's happening, but they think it's awesome because as they're down on their face experiencing the glory of God flooding their soul, tears running down their cheeks and their heart just bursting with joy or profound awe at the glory of God, they may not know what's happening. They may not care what's happening, but they wouldn't miss it for anything in life. Praise God. Let me ask you this. Did God have their attention? Did God have their attention? Oh, man. Oh, He had their attention. You know, I am grateful for gifted people. You know, we've had so many programs over the years of ways to get people into church. We had, you know, Bring a Friend program. We've had, what was that one you mentioned, Gene? Dave? What was that? Pack a pew day, you know. And these are all wonderful. You know, Jesus chided the church because he said the sons of the world are more creative and resourceful and zealous about doing the things they try to do than the church is about trying to do the things they're supposed to do. And so I praise God when people use their gifts and everything to use creative ways to get people into church. And that is a good thing. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But there is nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit to get someone's attention.